Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody, and good evening over in England there. Today, we actually have a guest coming in from England, where it's 7 o'clock in the evening over there. So good evening, UK, and good morning, anybody in the States or North America. You are listening to You're Important to Sarah, and I deem you to be very, very important in your own life, and never forget that. If you want to know more about what I offer you, please go to my website, which is The Importance of You. That would be the letter U, folks, theimportanceofyou.ca. I'm in Canada, so it's .ca, and I'd love you to read up what I have to offer you. What I have to offer you is the ability to understand who you are, your own personality, how you perceive life, where you are in this moment, what options and possibilities you have in moving forward. So do get hold of me. I would love to unravel your pattern and show you your map forward. Today we have Jenny Garrett from UK, who is launching her book tomorrow, Rocking Your World. Rocking Your Role. Well, you rock your world because you're rocking your role. I think there's going to be some rock and roll going on here today. This book is quite unique. I don't think anybody else has written anything about this subject, which is about women breadwinners. It always has been kind of rather a taboo subject, which is interesting, the fact that women who are the earners in the family are people that generally kind of keep that under wraps. Stigma with the husband, you know, why can't he provide? You know, is she the woman from Prada, you know, a nightmare because she's in a high position? And I think what really is happening in the world today, and you're going to see this escalate quite considerably, is that women are taking on these higher roles, and they are taking on becoming the breadwinner. And men are actually now being given the choice to follow things that they love and that they feel more at home with without having to have that emphasis of being the big high earner. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Be where you feel authentic. Be where you feel of value. Be where your heart and passion is. And whatever the dollar mark that's attached to that is the dollar mark. But if you love what you do, you're going to make what you do right. So, Jenny, good morning.
Hello.
Good evening, my darling. How are you today?
Good evening. I'm really good, thank you. Very excited about the launch of my book tomorrow and really happy to be on your show, Sarah.
Well, I'm very honored that I get the interview before the launch, because once you're launched, I don't think anyone's going to find you. Everybody's going to be wanting a piece of you, my darling.
Thank you.
So briefly, kind of tell everybody why this book came about.
Oh, wow. Well, I actually think that I was, you know, I was chosen for this book. I didn't choose the book. The book chose me. I came across some research, actually, written by a woman called Rebecca Massenbach. And she'd done a small amount of research on female breadwinners. And I thought, wow, this is an interesting concept. This really resonates with me. And then I began to get clients who were female breadwinners. And I thought, don't ignore this message. Someone's telling you that you need to do something about that. And so I just started researching. I chose to interview 8 women. I sent messages on message boards on the internet. And I just amassed so much information. And I just thought, I need to write a book about this. It needs, you know, people need to have help and support as breadwinners. And I'm the woman to do it. So that's how it
exactly
came about.
Well, I'm very pleased that you listen to your signs in life, because that's something I do preach to my people, is that, you know, if something's knocking at your door, it's there for a reason. And, you know, if you don't open up that door and you go down to another path, you're asking, but where is it? Well, it was there. You know, so pay attention to what's there in that moment. You yourself are a breadwinner, is that right?
Absolutely. I have been for the last 6 years. And when I'm talking about breadwinner, what I mean is that someone who's in a relationship often have children, and they're the main earner in the home. And so they're earning significantly more than their husband or partner. But the partner could be earning also.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's great if a dad decides to, or a partner decides to stay at home and raise the kids, because, you know, that's where they place the value on their children. And, you know, kudos to anybody who does that, because having raised three of my own, and I was a house mom balancing things on the side, you know, being a house mom is a full-time career in itself. So anybody who wishes to do that, kudos to them. But then if you've got a calling, you've got a talent, and you've got a passion that you're good at, you shouldn't ignore it. And if you have that ability to be able to pursue that career, then, you know, again, that's another path you have to take.
I agree. And I think, you know, the thing about being a stay-at-home mum, as I would describe it, is actually you don't get much thanks or reward or recognition for that role. So it's you know, it's pretty tough. But also, if you've got some drive and ambition and you want to work outside the home, then, yeah, hopefully there shouldn't be anything to stand in your way. But women do come to being a breadwinner for many different reasons. It's not necessarily just that they've got drive and ambition. You know, sometimes it's because of circumstance and situation as well.
Yes, I mean, and also I think also that the job front is kind of opening up and embracing women more. I think there's perhaps more opportunities for women to pursue something. I think there's also a lot more women entrepreneurs today with their own businesses.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree that there are so many women who are now, I think they're calling it a movement, that women are sort of stepping out of the workplace and saying, yes, I'll set up on my own, I'll work on my own terms, and I'll do what I'm really passionate about. I do think there's a danger for women in that, I think we want to do it all, and sometimes then what we do is we're working from home, it fits around everything else, but we do everything else as well. So we've still got the demands of work, but we're picking the kids up, we're doing the cooking and the cleaning, and I just encourage women to get support. You know, don't do it all, even if you do work from home and you're running your own business. You know, get someone in to help you, whatever that might be, cooking, cleaning, ironing, whatever you can do, really.
Yes, I mean, that's the whole thing, is that everybody needs a job or everybody needs a purpose. And there's somebody out there that would gladly clean your home for you, you know, gladly even take care of the kids and give you, you know, some relief and balance there. And there is nothing wrong with that, because you are in that position to be able to hire those people. So look upon it as being giving somebody else work.
Yes, completely. And, giving someone else, exactly, giving another woman, maybe even a female breadwinner, a role. So why not?
Yeah,
help someone out. Yeah.
I read your book, and I love the fact that it is a how-to, and that it's interactive, and that people can actually do exercises with the book in, you know, in discovering their own balance and, you know, where they are in their own lives and how to balance out their lives, that they're not trying to be, you know, goddess of everything. And I love the way that you've done that, the questions that you ask here, and also the way that you refer to the breadwinner as being a me, which I think that's kind of rather unique. I liked that. And you asked one question in the book: if you were to design your best life of being me, what would it look like? And I decided to answer that. And for me, it was to rely on the village, don't be at all.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I really appreciate your feedback on the book. And because, you know, I am a pragmatic person, I think everything is about, for me, is about doing. It's okay to talk, it's okay to have theory, but actually we need to take action. And so that's why I wanted it to be an interactive book that didn't just tell you how to do it. It said, how would you want to do it? And how can I give you a framework in order for you to do what you need to do, whether that's, you know, tackling conversations around money, whether that's dropping the guilt, which is massive, or that's, you know, letting go of superwoman syndrome, which sounds a little bit about, you know, like what you're saying. It's how can I let go of having to do it all and just rely on someone, or rely on others around me. Because actually, you're empowering them by doing so, by allowing other people to help you and support you. It's not a weakness on your part. It actually helps other people feel valued.
No, precisely. You're giving, because you're trusting them, you're giving them that sense of value to find pride in their own work and in their own sense of purpose. So, yes, I mean, you know, anybody that tries to build an empire like a tire on their own is going to fall. You know, the best way to build any form of business or relationship is the hands around the world. And, you know, it is more of who you bring in and empower is what is going to bring the empowerment to one and all, which I do like that a lot.
Good.
The other thing, just a little insert here, which I kind of, I've got another interview coming up in a few weeks of a lady who works in Rwanda, who is, you know, doing some wonderful work with orphanages over there. And the point that she brought out to me, which I found actually incredible, that 65% of the government over there is women.
Yeah.
In Rwanda.
Wow.
And, you know, I am actually seeing now through the interviews that I've got coming up and the people that are stepping out, and an awful lot of people are stepping out and have formed businesses through their own experiences, their own discoveries of how to, and now put these into programs for other people to benefit from. And I'm seeing a great deal more women come into their own. And instead of joining the establishment and trying to fit in, you know, like the man or be the female version of a man, stepping in as a woman and taking leadership as a woman, or starting their own businesses, and, you know, running it as a woman would run it, and become competition a great deal, a lot for the male establishment out there.
I think it's amazing that they're able to do that in Rwanda. I mean, the reality is that there's still a glass ceiling, particularly in the UK, that women find it very difficult to break through. And and often women in the same job as a man will be earning sort of 80% of the salary. So there's a, you know, question around when the woman is the breadwinner and has a stay-at-home partner. You know, is the house, you know, worse off, and what can we do about that? So I'd hope that in Rwanda that wouldn't be the case, because they'd be, you know, be more aware of the impact that would have on families. But there is something about this heart-centeredness, which, you know, I see going forward, much more evolving of how we see work and how we see life. And that is common with women, I think. It's, you know,
yes,
it's more common with women. Not to say that doesn't exist
within
men.
Yeah,
but not to say it doesn't exist with men. Yeah.
There's another sentence that you wrote here that I had to write down, is you can outdistance that which is running after you, but not what is running inside of you. And I thought that was a lovely statement. And and you know, it's I feel that with women, it's got nothing to do with intellect. It's got nothing to do with how smart you are. It's very much to do with the culture that we're brought up in, isn't it? And it's still that kind of feeling that stemmed inside of you from a little girl of your position is in the home.
Yeah,
and you should be the mother, you should be the housewife, you should be the sex goddess, you should be all of that.
Yeah, I think as you're aware from looking at the book and all of the interactive exercises and the reflections, and you know, I advise you to keep a journal alongside the book.
Yeah.
At the heart, you know, I'm a coach. You know, my role in life is to help people transform their lives in a positive way, in the way that works for them. And to do that, you really have to do some work on yourself, some self-leadership work. And that's what that's about, really. You can blame everything else. You can say you didn't have a choice to be breadwinner. You can, you know, worry about society's assumptions. All of these things, you know, have an impact, but actually it's what's going on within you that determines how successful you make it.
I 100% agree, because again, that is, you know, as a spiritual counselor, that is my work. It's like, you know, embracing from living from the inside out, and until we kind of delete what does not serve us and reprogram ourselves and embrace what our possibilities are from that inside out, you know, soul to heart to spirit to intent, and we're not going to, it doesn't matter what we do on the outside, nothing will ever be enough, nothing will ever be right, nothing will ever be satisfactory, and that we have to do it from that inside. And that's first getting rid of our turmoil, our drama, our pain, and being able to embrace you know, who we are, what we are, why we are, and what our possibilities are. And there is no escaping from that, no matter who you are. There is no escaping that.
And the challenge is...
Go ahead.
So, I was just going to say, the challenge is with female breadwinners is that they keep it secret typically. So they won't be sharing it. And so it's even harder to work on, because people don't know that it needs to be worked on. So if you haven't admitted even to yourself that you're the breadwinner, and you're not talking about it with your partner, and no one at work knows about it, how it's really difficult to work on it. And that's, you know, why I'm saying I want women to come out of the closet, not necessarily to the world, but even just to themselves about being a breadwinner.
And the most important thing is to sit down with your partner, because if you are yourself hiding it and you're feeling apologetic for it, then you're actually suggesting that your partner has got such insecurities that they're not content with it. And perhaps yes. that is not so. You're maybe assuming. And maybe yes. the partner is very proud of you. Maybe the partner is mm-hmm. very thankful that you've taken that role, so they themselves may find another role and haven't got that pressure on them. So, you
yes.
know, until you speak, until you interact, until you, you know, sit down and, as you say, talk and find out with each other instead of assuming, you don't know where you stand. And
yes.
I think a lot of men today are far easier with it than they used to be.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lovely example of what you just said, actually. I spoke to someone recently who said they had been the breadwinner up to about a year ago, and then their partner had become one. But he's a musician, you know, quite artistic and creative. And now she's moving into a position where she's going to be the breadwinner again. And he said, thank goodness, I can do what I want to do, and the pressure's off me. And she's
yeah.
really happy back in the role of breadwinner. So, yeah, don't make that assumption that your partner
yes.
won't be happy.
And there's no, you know, devaluing of anybody. You know, again, there are certain careers that, you know, like artists, you know, artists, musicians, actors or whatever, that they are superb in their work. And they are, mm-hmm. you know, what they give to the world is wonderful. But that doesn't always translate to the doctor, to the dollar. And,
no.
You know, even our work as coach and counselors, you know, in the freeing of people, the freeing of the minds and the souls, you know, those people go on to doing wonderful things in their lives. But again, you know, our financial value doesn't always necessarily match the value of what we give. And that is the way life is. Some things pay more. And
mm.
you know, I think that the stigma of value should never, ever, ever be associated with the dollar. Or with the pound,
no.
as we... looking at as
yeah, that's fine. I understood. Yes, I think you're right, and it's also about what do you bring to the relationship? You know, money is one aspect of what everyone, you know, what anyone brings into the house. So you know, there's a bigger picture here, isn't there? Around love, around care, around nurturing each other, around the roles in the home that have to be looked at in a holistic way. So
yes.
money is a trigger. That's how I describe it, or a catalyst. And sometimes it may challenge your identity by being the breadwinner. And it's about redefining the identity and knowing what works for you.
Yes,
work
and knowing, you know, where your aptitudes are, and, you know, just where you're not. I mean, you know, you might suck at the ironing. In that case, somebody else does it, right? I'm going to put
yes.
a quick ad up. People, please do call in and ask Jenny a question. She's actually going to give away one of her books to a caller. The phone number is 1-877-296-0345. That is 1-877-296-0345. If you wish to have a book from Jenny, and believe me, it is a fabulous book, very easy read, great interactive work going on in there, please do call in and ask Jenny a question. You've got 10 minutes. So, I love the way the book two again is easy. There's an awful lot of people that when they put up books out of there that are, you know, a educational and making a statement that you are, it gets too heavy or too big. You've made it interactive, and what you've done is got some great kind of diagrams there, and easy to follow mm-hmm. diagrams, or, you know, that people can do their own diagram and finding where they are. And it's, but in a lot of sense, your book is short and sweet, so that makes it, you know, somebody hasn't got to think, I haven't got the time of day to do this between this and between that. Yes, they do. I read it in one evening. So people do have the time to take this book and then start using it as a tool, because you've made it very simple and to the point and very easy to follow.
Yes. I think that's me. I'm simple. But I just wanted to have my voice. I didn't want to have, you know, airs and graces. I wanted it to be really practical, something easy to understand and work through. And I wanted people to be able to work through it at home on their own without too much support to do so. So yeah, I'm really pleased that, you know, the things you're saying about it, that, you know, it's got real clarity as well as being a really helpful tool for people. And it's really amazing how different sections stand out. So I'll have someone say to me, oh wow, the section on guilt really resonated with me, where someone will say, oh, I had to do an ego check, yeah, that was me. And I just love that people identify aspects in themselves, and they might just notice one area and say, you know what, I'm really good at that. I don't have to think about
exactly.
that area. But actually, this is where I need to do my work.
And
so, yeah.
I learned to delegate. I mean, you know, if you've got kids, you know, one thing about motherhood is that we end up doing it all. You know, teach them to fish. Don't keep giving them fish. Yeah. Teach them these jobs and reward them for it. You know, it's reward them for their achievements and what they do. And even if it's not done in the way you want it done, reward the fact that they've made that effort, and then that effort will always continue to grow because of that appreciation. So, you know, hand stuff over to your kids. Chores that you thought only you had to do, you know, can be delegated, and everybody can get in there, and that becomes the family unit where everybody's supporting one another. I like another thing that you put in here is that not prioritizing you sends out a dangerous message that you're not important. And of course, you get a nerve there with me, considering that I look upon everybody as they must place importance on self before anything else. And yes, that's another thing is that because of the guilt, because they feel they can't be everything to everyone, they forget to place that importance on themselves and quite essentially wear themselves out. And they forget to do what they need to do to rejuvenate.
And as the breadwinner, your health is crucial. You know, your mental, spiritual, and physical well-being is essential because you're bringing home the bacon. So if you're not well and you can't go to work, there's an issue. If you suffer from mental health problems, it affects everyone. And your spiritual well-being just, you know, it's about you and your life and how you walk through it. So you have to look after yourself. It's actually, you know, that should be part of your job. But women don't. And you know, this thing about being self-sacrificing and martyrs to others in their family does not help them and does send out a dangerous message because we're all leaving a legacy. We're all leaving a legacy, and who wants that to be my legacy? You know, that your legacy, well, we're not, you know, sacrifice yourself for others. Yes, you know, if it was something, you know, huge, where you might need to make a small sacrifice, but actually just going through life like that, I don't think that's the message we want to give out.
No, I mean, if
children.
You're not whole in yourself, in your mind, body, and soul, if you're not whole, then you cannot be productive. You can't fire on all of those cylinders. And, you know, it is essential to look after your health, nutritionally, eat properly, proper vitamins, the exercise. It's essential for you to do that to release any toxins in your body, be it emotional or physical, or you know the thing is, we need to place that emphasis. This martyrdom and this self-sacrifice that seems to have been imposed upon women since the beginning of time has to be reprogrammed. Has to be reprogrammed. And, you know, let's face it, men are not going to be the ones to reprogram that. Women, we have to take that into our own hands. And we need to place that importance on ourselves and the value on ourselves and say, no, I cannot do that. I will not do that. I need to do this for me so I can be that for you. But if we don't place ourselves first, we're not going to be able to help anybody in any way, breadwinning or not.
Yes. Yeah, although I think men have an important role to play, and I think the more stay-at-home dads we have, the more we'll see a valuing of that role, because men will not sit back and to be taken for granted in terms of their role in the home. If they're doing that job, I did all this today, and I worked really hard, and actually society should value me. So, you know, there's even more to benefit from, because I think even that role will be, looked at quite differently, a new perspective on it with men in it.
I do remember going away for a weekend once to a girlfriend's and leaving my ex with the three children for the weekend. I came home to find the kids on the ceiling. They actually had to miss school the next day because they were still riding so high from all the sugar. Laundry, dishes and everything were anywhere. He was passed out. And when he came to me, he said, "You don't know how hard it is." And I said, "Excuse me? What do you mean?" And I think again, look at a person's shoes for a day, and then come to the door.
Completely. I don't know if you read the area where I said that I had been away for a few days and my husband had looked after my daughter. And when I came back on the Saturday, he said, he just slept all day. And when I asked him, why are you so tired? He said something similar. You know, I had to keep an ear open for her at night when she went to bed. And I thought, well, that means that I'm always doing that. So I'm on duty 24 hours a day usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't get to sleep Sunday, Saturday to recover.
Exactly. Yeah. So sometimes I think those statements need to be mirrored back, you know, okay, so what are you telling me? You know, that my sleep isn't important, and maybe we need to relook at that, right, and understand the statement that you've just made. Because I don't think often that, you know, people make these statements without realizing exactly what they're saying. And, you know, sometimes it's like, stop, let's look at that statement. And now you understand what you've just said to me, instead of me going off feeling all affronted, now you've understand what you've said to me, is that what you meant? And generally it's not, or now you've shown them how to look at it from a different way. But it's okay, I think, to call each other on things instead of, you know, harvesting it into an unproductive harvest. The writing down every day is something I really like. I was told many years ago to keep a journal, and I'm not a very dear, you know, journal type person. For me, it became article writing. And in that article, it was something that came my whole perspective. And sometimes I would sit down at the computer and I had no idea what's going to come out until those fingers started typing. And it was always something that, an observation of something I maybe didn't like, then leading out to a solution and, you know, positivity coming out of it. And for me, that kind of opened me up considerably and allowed me to express where at a time my voice was silent. And I highly recommend people in some way or other getting it down on paper, or even if they put it in the recorder. I mean, the beautiful thing is you can get digital recorders and plug it into the computer afterwards and hear it back and do it on your way home in the car or on the train.
Completely. And I think, you know, whichever space you use to record your musings, your reflections, your actions, I think it's important to create that space. So, you know, if it's a book and it's got blank pages, I think you've created the space to start reflecting. You know, if you create a blog, if you've decided to have a dictaphone, it's about creating the space. And having an item like a journal makes it a physical space that you know you need to fill, rather than just saying I want to reflect maybe as I walk. There's no space for filling. Your head can become filled with other thoughts.
The other thing is just revisiting it. That's always something I found interesting.
Yeah.
Revisiting what you've written and see where you were then and to where you are now, and it gives you a real milestone as how to where you've gone. We've only got 3 minutes left, Jenny, and nobody has called in, but in these shows very often people will download later. Is your office still open for someone to receiving a book if they contact me?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love for someone who thinks they'll benefit from Rocking Your Role, to get in contact with you, and I will definitely ensure they get a copy of the book.
Okay, so for anybody who's downloaded the show afterwards and you would like to read Jenny's book, which I do highly recommend, please get hold of me at Sarah, S-A-R-A, at theimportanceofyou, remember that's the letter U, .ca. Sarah at theimportanceofyou.ca, and I will make sure that Jenny will get that and she'll get that book to you. And, you know, even if you're not yet a breadwinner, if you think that your career is going to go that way, or, you know, and that might be something that will come up to you in the future, you know, this book is a great one to read now, women. Just read it now, whether you're there or not. Maybe you intend to be there, or maybe you'd just like to know that if I ever did become the breadwinner, what would it entail? I think this book is just good for women all over. Because, you know, whether they're breadwinners or not, even if they're just out there earning and they're doing their 40 hours a week working and they're still trying to balance that role at home, I still think this book is very, very beneficial for everyone to read. Jenny, quick 30-second goodbye from you, darling. Can you tell me?
Goodbye. Enjoy rocking your role in life, everyone. And, feel free to get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
And you can go to my site and you can go to the Authentic You site to get Jenny's email and her website, so please do visit it, theimportanceofyou.ca, and if you go to Your Important to Sarah page, all of Jenny's information is there. It's also on the Authentic to You, Your Important to Sarah page as well. You can contact me and I'll forward you onto her, but please you're going to be downloading after this, get her book and go and rock your own world, ladies. Thank you so much, Jenny. It's been wonderful having you. Good luck with your book, and rocking everyone's world. Thank you, darling.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, darling. Next week we have Ingrid Erickson, who is an allergist please listen in, everybody. You have no understanding how deep your allergies go and the diseases that it could cause in your future that you don't know about. Tune in next week. This is a must listen to for your future health. God bless everyone.